Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. It is the day after WWE SummerSlam. I will be joined momentarily by Will Pruitt of ProWrestling.net, and we will be taking your phone calls regarding NXT TakeOver, SummerSlam, tonight's Raw, SmackDown, whatever is on your mind in the world of pro wrestling. We were also on yesterday. You can find that show in the archives. John Moore was my guest host for the day as we got ready for SummerSlam. As far as SummerSlam is concerned, I didn't like this as much as the fans who, or the readers, I should say, who voted in our poll on the main page at ProWrestling.net. At last check, it was getting a B as in boy grade from the readers. I ended up, I did audio last night with Jake Barnett, the members audio review. We talked for well over an hour about SummerSlam. I ended up giving the show, I settled in on a D as in dog plus. And a lot of that it was due to the main event in terms of the positives of the show, not the negatives. That was an excellent main event. I exceeded my expectations, but I was pretty bored during the first 2 hours of the SummerSlam event. It just, it was slow. The crowd wasn't very into things, and I thought things picked up for the last couple of hours with the exception of the WWE Championship match, but we will find out what Will has to say about it. On the flip side, love TakeOver. I thought that was a great show on Saturday night. Excited to hear from you guys as well. And the number to call in and join us today is 773-897-6321. Will and I are live the Mondays after WWE pay-per-view events. And let's bring Will into the show now. Will, I haven't even talked to you. I don't even know if I've checked out your Twitter page yet. Your thoughts on SummerSlam?
Oh, that was a long show. I didn't even watch the pre-show, which I know has an excellent match on it, but I just couldn't bring myself to watch all of it. It was long, and a lot of it seemed a little pointless or a little less than enjoyable, but that main event was phenomenal. I can't say enough about how fun that main event was to watch, and even after the entire length of that show, I still found myself screaming at a couple points in the main event because it was so fun.
Yeah, they did a hell of a job. It was laid out really well. Your thoughts on the decision to have Roman Reigns be the one to take the loss?
It's certainly interesting given that I think Reigns versus Lesnar was the rumored WrestleMania main event. You and Jake talked in your audio for members about, hey, maybe this is a Braun Strowman thing now, that they think Braun Strowman and Lesnar could be their Mania main event. And this match definitely teased Strowman and Lesnar a lot, and I think would be a great matchup to go with, even if it does take all the way until the Rumble in WrestleMania to get there. I think it could be very fun. So I think Roman may just not be the guy for that slot anymore.
Now, there's a lot of buzz. They're going right to Lesnar against Strowman. I mean, there's something to be said for strike while the iron is hot. I mean, it served UFC well over the years in different circumstances, but they're not afraid to go right for a big fight at certain times. And in this case, I don't know what you have that's bigger than Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, barring some outside involvement of someone we're not even thinking of. I don't think Roman really loses much. I thought he was a safe pick to have lose that match. He's the one who can absorb it the easiest. Strowman was not, he just wouldn't want him losing right now. And I thought if Joe had lost again coming off his loss to Lesnar, that could have been damaging. And so I actually liked the decision to go with Reigns, but what is your guess? I mean, do you think they will go Strowman at Mania against Lesnar? Do you think they have something else in mind? Is it Vince still being stubborn and the plan is to build up Roman to get back there?
Maybe we'll get the big Roman Reigns redemption tour through the fall months that everyone, I'm sure, would just love. I mean, Roman Reigns or Monday Night Football? What's your pick there? I could absolutely see them trying to strike while the iron is hot with Strowman, and honestly, I wouldn't fault them for it, simply because I really think they should have put the belt on Strowman last night. They should have had him destroy everyone in the way that he did and walk out with the title, because what do you have that's bigger than that? What do you have that's more fun than that? And you suddenly make a star out of Braun Strowman. You have him have this career and star-making performance on one of your big shows. That's a statement, and WWE should use their bigger shows to make statements more often than they do. And that, I think, you know, a No Mercy main event wouldn't quite have the same ring to it. And if you stretch it out all the way to WrestleMania, who says Strowman is as hot at WrestleMania? That is, what, 7 more months of WWE Raw booking that he has to live through to stay that hot until Mania? A whole lot of guys have cooled down in that time period.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. I mean, I think he will be by that point if they do a good job with him creatively. And either way, I think he's going to be in a better position than Reigns will. I'm not a Reigns hater. I continue to feel like he'd be better off cast as a heel. I'd love to see a heel Shield reunion. I don't think it's in the cards. I do think that we'll see the Shield eventually, probably as a babyface trio for a reunion because there's money in that. I understand it, but I really love the idea of those guys reuniting as heels. And there was as unrealistic as it seemed, as I talked about yesterday on the show, there was a part of me really wishing that that would have happened. The thing that I don't like about going with Strowman now, last night as far as being champion, I think he made the statement. I think it was a star-making performance. I think he was a star going into this. And beating the hell out of Lesnar the way he did, putting him through a couple of broadcast tables, that's enough for me. I want to see them take Strowman on that journey to winning the championship in a single showdown. Your thoughts on that?
I totally see where you're coming from there, and I actually think that the way to tell this story right is Paul Heyman does everything in his power to keep Strowman away from Lesnar. He makes sure that Strowman and Lesnar never touch, and then Strowman says, fine, I'll win the Rumble. And goes in and destroys humans throughout the Royal Rumble and wins and says, Brock, I'm coming for you at Mania. I think that's how you tell that story and do it convincingly and well. But that also requires Brock Lesnar to be a little bit of the cowardly heel in that scenario. And I don't know that WWE is going to want to paint Brock that way, even though it's better for someone who is full-time on their roster and definitely cares more about WWE than Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what they do tonight. I think, you know, I don't know that we're going to get all the answers, but I think we'll have a better idea of where they're going with that next pay-per-view event coming up in September and what the main event is, ideally. I don't know how many shows Brock is advertised for between now and then. I believe he's advertised for that one officially. But let's start rolling through calls. As I said, if you want to join us today, the number to call is 773-897-6321. I'm Jason Powell. He's Will Pruitt. This is ProWrestling.net Live. First up is the 917 area code. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Jason. This is Christine from New York. This is actually Don's wife from New York, who actually calls your show a lot.
Yeah, he warned me you would be calling.
Yes, he did, and I do have some questions for you.
I shouldn't say warning. That sounds like look out.
That's
but
okay.
No, he gave me the heads up that you'd be calling today. So happy to hear from you.
Yes, thanks so much. All right, so with the confirmation that Undertaker is in fact in New York, it was confirmed yesterday. He didn't show up last night. Do we think that tonight that there is a possibility that he could show up tonight and confront Roman Reigns and start building towards a match for WrestleMania as, like, his last match?
Yeah, it came up yesterday in the discussion, and, I mean, it's a cop-out answer, but I look at it as, like, a 50-50 thing. I mean, yeah, he is in town. They've been very careful in their wording when it comes to saying that he was possibly retired, or whatever the wording is that they use. It looked definitive at WrestleMania. Then, of course, and then the next night they kind of changed. They were very careful and selective in that wording. They've had Roman recently boast about retiring Taker, and so yeah, Will. I don't know. I mean, it's a possibility, but I hate to say he's going to be there when I don't know. What does your gut tell you, Will?
I don't know. I thought maybe last night.
Oh, hold on,
Christine.
I wanted to go to Will on that one really quick.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I
will go for
don't
it.
Really. I don't really know about Undertaker showing up. I think it'd be a mistake. I think him having another match in WWE or another two or three matches is a mistake. You only, I mean, it would be his, what, second or third last match at that point. And while there's something there for an Undertaker retirement run, I think there's something there for him being done as well. He looked really, really bad at WrestleMania. He was not capable of having the performance that you could tell he wanted to and that the match called for, and I don't want to watch that guy wrestle again if that's what we're going to get.
All right, Christine, fire away. I know you had more.
Okay, this is actually Don's question. You mentioned last night in your audio that you were disappointed that they put the titles on Seth and Dean so soon. Do you think there's a possibility that they actually are building on Ambrose's heel turn rather than a full-on Shield reunion?
Yeah, I mean, slightly disappointed. I get it. You know, that made for a feel-good moment on the show. And as I mentioned in my hit list today, it was at a point in the show where they needed one. And so, I mean, it's not like I was like, damn, they won. I also mentioned that my buddy had his teenage son over, and that's the thing he really reacted to. He was excited to see Rollins and Ambrose win that match and win the tag titles. So I guess my only concern with it is, did it peak too soon? But you're right. I don't know what they have in mind. As far as you know, where you go coming out of this, if they're going to turn Ambrose, my guess is that they're not. I don't see any reason to split these two up right now. They were pretty cold before they reunited, and now they feel like one of the better acts in WWE.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have them split up immediately, but I would definitely think about putting Roman with them for a couple months and figuring out how to spin one of them off as the heel at the end of that. I think that would be a great slot for Ambrose, to be honest, a relaunching point for him. Give him and Roman a feud and something to work towards. Give him and Seth something as well. And in the end, kind of get them back on different sides of things, because I don't think they want a Shield reunion in the long term. I don't think they want a Shield reunion for, you know, the next year or two. But I think doing one, say, going into Survivor Series or something like that would be really, really fun.
Anything else for us today, Christine?
Yes. Yes, one more question.
Sure.
Now, with Bayley being hurt and Sasha winning last night, do we feel that if Bayley wasn't hurt, that the result would have been the same and that they would have given Bayley the title?
Ooh, good question. Thank you very much for the call. Give Don my best. I know he's working today, but I definitely appreciate you taking the time to call in. Will that, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, I guess I wasn't, I was on Wade's podcast, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, of Podcast One, and I predicted a Sasha win, and I thought, even though it played out that way, I thought Wade had really good logic in it, in saying that he thought that they were going to go the other way and keep the title on Alexa, and that's that they weren't planning on having Sasha in the match to begin with, and so he just figured they were going to keep the title on Alexa. They went the other way. I mean, going in when they first set the match as Bayley and Alexa, was your guard up for a title change at that point? How did you see that one playing out?
My guard was up for a title change just in terms of what are they going to do on this show, and I thought that since Sasha 2 years straight has lost a title in Brooklyn, I thought there's a good chance that they might put the title on her as kind of a, not a make good, but as kind of a, hey, the curse is broken, look what Sasha can do now thing. And they did that all right. I don't think the match itself was spectacular. They both women are capable of more, and the slot it was in was a bit of a death slot, as the whole first half of the show apparently proved to be.
Yeah, really. I don't know what the original plan was. I guess, considering what they've done with Alexa lately, yeah, maybe. I haven't really been. Now, some of it is they had to all of a sudden turn around and get Sasha ready. But it just, Will, I don't, maybe you feel differently than I do. I just don't, I think they've kind of lost their way a bit with Alexa Bliss. I mean, she's still over. The crowd really reacted to her. Some even cheering her over Sasha last night. But I just haven't been impressed by what they've done with her creatively. It just kind of seems like, you know, she sits, she makes some faces and cuts a brief promo, and there's just, it's not as strong creatively as it was on SmackDown or early in her Raw run.
that entire Raw women's division is really puzzlingly booked. You have Bayley, who it was probably the surest thing in WWE for an act that would catch on with everyone and be a star on the main roster, and they mess that up. Sasha kind of meandered into a title match against Bliss and lost, and meandered into another one after losing initially. Nia Jax, who could be Braun Strowman levels of over if she continued getting books like Braun Strowman, like she was when they first debuted. Nia Jax is not an imposing force in that division like she could be. And then you have Mickie James and Emma, who are nowhere to be seen most of the time, who are just gone. I think that division is really poorly built, and I don't think who's champion matters as much in it right now, because they don't have a direction for it. I think the sea change of putting Sasha in there as champion will hopefully lead to something good, but you're right with the team kind of losing their way with Alexa Bliss as well, who looked to be just the breakout star of the Raw women's division just after the superstar shakeup.
Let's keep rolling through calls. 773-897-6321. Again, I am Jason Powell. He is Will Pruitt. This is ProWrestling.net Live, and we are here the Mondays following WWE pay-per-view events. I believe our next show is coming up. I'll grab the date a little bit later. I do know it. It's September 25th. It's the day after the No Mercy pay-per-view. That's the next time, barring some surprising, hey, we're doing another pay-per-view announcement, that is the next time that we will be on the air. And, of course, you can check out our All Access Daily show coverage Monday through Friday at pwaudio.net. In fact, I've just confirmed it's finally happening. New staffer April LaValle will join me for a 2-for-20 tomorrow. We will be discussing the WWE Raw show, so look for that at pwaudio.net on Tuesday afternoon. Next up in line is 561. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is Dylan from West Palm Beach, Florida.
What's going on today?
So, was I the only one who felt like a lot of the finishes at SummerSlam were really, like, rushed? Like, it never felt like the match got out of first gear.
I felt that way throughout most of the first couple of hours, not the pre-show. I mean, the pre-show I felt bad for the first couple of matches because of the fact they didn't let people in the building until the show, the kickoff show started. And, I mean, there were some long lines, and they didn't even really – it seemed like by the time the New Day, the third match, New Day's Usos went on, most of the people had made their way into the building. But the actual main card, yeah, I didn't I wasn't very impressed by what we ended up getting during the first couple hours of the show for the most part. I mean, I thought there were some decent matches, but some of those matches I kind of thought were – in a tough spot going in because they didn't get solid creative support. There just wasn't as much interest in those feuds as I think there could have been had they done a better job creatively. Both of the women's championship matches, I think they did what they could with Sasha and Alexa given the circumstances, but especially Natalya and Naomi, and the whole build was, I think they had one exchange, and then the rest of the build was about Carmella cashing in. She never even teased it. She just sat backstage and watched on a monitor, so that was uneventful. And then even Shinsuke and Jinder's a match that I didn't feel like that got out of first gear. It just kind of all of a sudden like
did it
the
get
things
into first gear.
Yeah, really. I mean, it just was another. Well, the Singhs interfered, and I thought, all right, this is SummerSlam. Sure, they're going to interfere, but Shinsuke is gonna, you know, he's gonna kick out of this Kermit. I was shocked when the match ended when it did.
As was I, especially after the botched cravat somehow, I was like, oh, there's no way they're going to, no, that's it. Okay, let's, should have taken a break during this one.
Did you have more for Sean?
About Jinder Mahal, is this finisher pretty much the Singh brothers interfere and then he has the cravat? Because the cravat doesn't look that impressive a move by itself, and it seems like every match he's in, the Singh brothers interfere, then he, you know, gets a roll up or something.
I'm starting to see that, Will. Go ahead, Will.
Oh, I was going to say, when you hit L1 on the remote controller, that actually triggers Sameer Singh jumping onto the ramp, and then everything else happens in sequence that way. That's the Jinder Mahal moveset on WWE 2K18.
That's
if it's not, it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just being so lazy with this. It's the same promo every week.
The whole character is lazy.
Yeah, you know, we see some television matches where there's a little bit of variance, but his pay-per-view matches, I mean, I dubbed it the gender finish after we saw it, like, the second time a few weeks in, whatever it was, and they just keep going with it. And I do wonder if some of it is intentional in terms of they're building up to gender and Hell in a Cell, and they're going to try to convince fans that, well, this time he can't rely on them, just as they tried to convince them that he couldn't rely on the Singh brothers in Punjabi prison. Hell in a Cell is supposed to be different, but, Will, we've seen people get inside the Hell in a Cell structure way too many times. I don't know that it's going to work.
Yeah, the Hell in a Cell structure hasn't kept anyone out since the first Hell in a Cell match. Hell in a Cell is not exactly going to make anyone lonely. I don't think it'll work, and I don't see Jinder Mahal as a main event player. He comes out with the WWE Championship. Yes, he looks the part, absolutely. His matches and his promos, his performances since being put in this spot, and I wanted Jinder to succeed. I would still like to see him succeed, but his performances since he's been in this role have not been impressive. I'm more looking forward to what I hope is a Kevin Owens against Shane McMahon Hell in a Cell match that will be the greatest match of all time.
With Jinder, I mean, it's, like I said, the same promo every time. I do think the matches have been getting a little better. Shinsuke was an exception. I'm kind of thinking about the ones we saw on television. I did enjoy this match with Cena that aired on SmackDown. I really liked the match that he had with Randy Orton the week before that. But on pay-per-view, he has really, it's just kind of bogged down by that same finish. I won't even hold Punjabi Prison against him. It's just, they're not being creative with this guy. And that was part of the fun of, all right, they're going to pluck this guy out of the undercard and turn him into champion. I wasn't an advocate for just trying to take a guy who had lost way more than he'd ever won and suddenly decide that he's a star without some build. But at the same time, I was optimistic that, okay, it wasn't quite the same with JBL, but there was a lot of creativity there that they showed with him back in the day. And I was hoping we get some of that. The Singh brothers have no individual personalities. They're just still the Singh brothers, and they interfere. I don't know that most people know the difference as far as who is who. And then Jinder, it's just that same damn awkward, more awkward by the week promo about all the fans being xenophobic. And the part that's really irritating me now is the broadcast team never defends the fans. Shinsuke Nakamura was the perfect guy to defend the fans, and he didn't, at least yet. We'll see if he does. So it's kind of a broken record on this, but I don't know what they want from the fan base, John. I don't know if they want us to boo him because we're all xenophobic, if that's what they're going for, or if they want fans to boo him because he says they are. Either way, it's just not a good look for them, and they need to get out of this and just make him an arrogant guy who is the champion, and he's a snob. And he just happens to be Indian, but I don't know that they're going to. It just seems like they've dug their heels in with this. John, I kind of went all over there, but did you have more for us?
I was thinking about, like, the length of the TakeOver show. It's about 2.5 hours long every time. It seems like that's the perfect way to utilize, a live event because it's not, you're getting – 1.5 times what you normally get on NXT TV, but with SummerSlam, it's 4 hours and change, and it feels like it's just a really long edition of Raw with a great main event. Like, how do you think they could fix that other than killing the third hour? Because that needs to go anyway.
Will, I just rambled. I'm going to let you start with this one.
One, Jason, I think your point on the announcers and no one on the show ever defending the fans is a really great one because about Jinder. That's something I hadn't really thought about, and it is really tone deaf because it's like WWE is just like trying to, no, you should boo him because he's calling you xenophobic, but they're not saying, no, you're not. They're just saying, yeah, so, or at least it feels that way. But about the takeover thing, or takeovers feeling like the perfect length, that is a really good point that I've been thinking about since last night and watching the overly bloated SummerSlam show going, huh, takeover, I was bummed that certain acts were left off the show. I would have wanted, I wanted some WWE UK presence. I wanted Roderick Strong and Cassius Ohno to have matches on the show. But at the same time, I'm pretty okay with it if that means that we keep getting shows that are as good as all of the takeovers have been, with the limit seemingly being at five matches, and that's all they're going to do, and then they get out of there. And that, to me, is a really, really great point for those takeover shows to be at. And if that means some guys get left off, it means some guys get left off. You could put together a SummerSlam card of five matches from last night's show and end up with a really, really great show, even though WWE would probably hurt a little bit in their souls doing it. You could put together 2.5 hours of great, or you could have 4 hours of mediocrity.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't need to be 6 hours, that with the kickoff show.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it. I know, oh, we're getting everyone on the show. Well, just pay them as if they were. I mean, I'm sorry, but you don't – there were certain people left off the show last night. You can't get everyone on the show unless you're going to do a SummerSlam edition of the Dre Battle Royal. So I just say make some tough calls for the better for the betterment of the show, for the quality of the show. There were some matches that we didn't need to see here that easily could have been saved for television or, you know, I mean, just – and matches that didn't get, as I mentioned earlier, quality storyline support. NXT at 2.5 hours leaves you wanting more. There has yet to be an NXT TakeOver special. When the show went off the air, that I wasn't left just very impressed and wanting more. Even the worst TakeOver special was a good show. Most of them are great shows, as we saw on Saturday. I really think they have a great formula there. I don't know how realistic it is for WWE to try to emulate that on the main roster when they're kind of stuck in this mindset that more is better. But I wish they would, especially, you know, I mean, if you want to go crazy for the big four pay-per-views like they do, all right, so be it. But, you know, there was some grumbling when SmackDown, one of their shows, ran a little short. I think you can just kind of make that the new norm. I mean, there's still people ordering the pay-per-view events, but that number gets smaller all the time. I think for the individual Raw and especially SmackDown shows, I think you can get away with 2.5 hours. You don't have to hold yourself to that window, but say you go 2:35, well, don't feel, you know, I wouldn't feel obligated to stretch things out with filler. That's adequate in this network era where people are paying $9.99. You don't need 6 hours. You don't even need 4 hours for the standard pay-per-view plus the kickoff show. I would just cut that kickoff show in half. You know, go 1 hour for your big events, go a half hour for your non-Big Four events, and I think it would be fine. Now, no one is forcing anyone to watch the kickoff show. I get that, because that's going to be an argument from the fans who can't get enough. But it's still, I mean, you want people watching your product. You want, I mean, give them, if you're going to do it, at least make it an entertaining show. And I thought last night with three matches on the show was better than your typical one-hour kickoff show with one match. That's usually just some throwaway undercard match that they really didn't give much thought to. This was a better version of that. But, Will, I don't know about you, but when I listened to the back and forth of the host and the panelists on these kickoff shows, I'm ready to doze off. It's all so predictable and it's so safe. And, all right, this guy, two of them picked this one, and Jerry Lawler outright saying, well, I don't want it to be a clean sweep, so I'll go with the other guy. And that's all that's happening on these things.
Yeah, it's really odd and bad. The kickoff shows aren't fun to watch. They aren't enjoyable. They should be cut. I think the idea of shows going shorter is just a good one. I don't know what TV show that, like, casual people watch that goes 3 hours on Mondays, 2 hours on Tuesdays, and then it'll go a full six on Sunday. What casual person is sitting down for a six-hour SummerSlam viewing? Like, those fans don't exist, and if SummerSlam is supposed to draw in casual viewers, you can't even throw a party, because no one's going to sit around for 4 hours and watch that. That's just not going to happen. And they'd be a lot SummerSlam would have been a much better show at 2.5 hours, and probably would have had a hotter crowd, and some of those matches that were all right, like, say, Natalya versus Naomi, which I thought was a good match, really killed by a completely unreactive crowd, may have been treated a little better if fans weren't saving themselves up knowing, hey, we gotta get through another 3 hours of this thing.
Yeah, I hope they realize and recognize there's an issue with these shows going so long. Especially, I mean, do you really, your biggest shows of the year, you want to send people away going, oh, good, it's over. And I don't know how many people really had that feeling last night because the main event was so good. But we've had it for past WrestleManias, the one that you attended in Dallas, or I guess Texas. I think it's technically Arlington, whatever it is, at the Jones Mahal, the Cowboys Stadium. That thing went on forever. You know, and I think that was kind of the first of the ridiculously long shows. We're growing a little more accustomed to it. But I can tell you, like, I almost feel like they're wasting their time with these kickoff shows. I know you had a hard time with it. And then the guys that did come over to my place to watch the show, I told them they could be here for it. No interest. You know, they got here close to the start of the main show. And they'll go back and probably watch the New Day match. I don't remember if a couple of the guys were here for that or not. But, I mean, it's more and more people are just going, well, if there's something good, I'll go back and find the match. But so it almost feels like they're just wasting their time. But, John, thank you very much for the call. Let's keep rolling through. 773-897-6321 is your number to call. This is ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. He is Will Pruitt. And up next on the line is 740. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, Will, how's it going, guys? This is Chris in Cincinnati.
Hey, Chris, what's going on today?
Hey, not much, man, not much at all. It's actually the first time I've called in to talk to you, although you may not remember, but we did talk on Twitter, this is a long time ago now, about our Boston Terriers. So just wanted to thank you for the Blue Buffalo recommendation.
It's working
anyway.
Out.
Well, unfortunately, she's developed many more health problems since then, and now she's on a prescription food. So,
hopefully not because of Blue Buffalo, but
no.
I hope everything works out there.
No, it's not. She's doing quite well. She's in the room with me now. Anyway, most people probably don't want to hear about my Boston.
Well, I do. So, I don't know if everyone else does, though.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I know you guys kind of already talked a lot about one of the things I wanted to bring up, you know, the difference between comparing SummerSlam and TakeOver, so that we don't beat the dead horse on the obvious length of the show. I'm not somebody that even necessarily watches the weekly NXT shows. I mean, unless I see something really big advertised, I may just check out whatever Zach wrote up and his thoughts on the show and then just move on. But I always make sure to watch the TakeOver shows. And my question is, if you had to name, like, one thing about those shows, you know, each match and even the post-matches of the TakeOver on Saturday, it feels important. What is so much different that makes it feel that much more important than the stuff on the pay-per-view the next night on SummerSlam?
Very good question. Will, I'll let you tackle that one.
Ooh, that's a tough one. If I had to name one thing, it would be probably time. The NXT shows, not, and I mean the amount of time they give each thing. You never watch TakeOver feeling like they're rushing to get everything in. Maybe TakeOver had as many ads between matches as SummerSlam, but I didn't feel that way watching it. If anything, I needed those minutes to recover from what I had just seen and get ready. But at no point did I feel like, oh, this show is really, that they're just trying to cram things together to make it work. And SummerSlam felt that way. The long, sprawling Big Four pay-per-views WWE does definitely feel that way. And I think giving things time to breathe, giving them time to feel important, and letting fans kind of get up and recover and get into the next thing, that's huge. On top of that, I would say the main difference in crowd reaction is probably because NXT doesn't hate its fans the way the WWE main roster does.
Well, explain what you mean by that.
Oh, simply look at the way NXT is branded. We are NXT. If you go to an NXT house show, you see videos about how you built this. And it's complete BS. It's total marketing role. The fans didn't build NXT. WWE wanted a pseudo-indie, so they built one. But it's not the fans building it. But they've managed to brand it and turn it into their own counterculture. You built this. This is you. This is all about fan support, fan service. That wrestlers who say people love an NXT or things that people would normally say on the main roster not care for, they're going to get behind an NXT because they've been made to feel like it's their brand. It's really a victory of WWE branding that NXT is what it is, but the main roster's viewpoint on it is, we hate you. Please stop watching us. Look at, I always point at the Stephanie McMahon speech before Triple H's entrance at WrestleMania 32.
Well, and then I guess another thing NXT doesn't have is a show designed to tell you that you're wrong as a fan and here's what you should be thinking, like bring it to the table. It's not all that. I don't want to just crap all over that show, but there's definitely a vibe to it at times that they're trying to send that message to people. NXT, I think, succeeds in giving their audience what they want. I don't think WWE does that on the main roster nearly as effectively. I mean, look at Vince being hell-bent on getting Roman over as a babyface. Look at what we're seeing right now on the SmackDown side with Jinder Mahal. Vince is taking, he has an attitude of, even if he gives fans what they want, even if they don't know they want it. And for years, I think he was very good about that. These days, I think he's giving them what he wants them to want more than what they actually want. Where on the NXT side of things, you don't get people held back. How many? I think back to when NXT started and they started bringing in some bigger names from the indie scene, and just the concern that we would have, like, all right, what are they going to do with this guy? Because we were conditioned to think that way when WWE would bring some certain people in, they didn't always do right by them. That's never been an issue on NXT. Now, are there guys that you as an individual may wish would get, or girls for that matter, a better push? Sure. At times, yes, but it's not like they're just wasted. It's not like they don't have a role or they're just hanging around the undercard. I mean, I guess, Will, a team that I've been bringing up as an example that bypassed NXT, I still think we'd be looking at Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson differently had they had 6 months even in NXT, because they would have been utilized properly, and I think there'd be more of an outrage from the NXT fan base, WWE fans, who would have had a chance to see them utilized properly in NXT than we're getting now. We're just kind of accepted that, yeah, they're probably going to lose on Raw to whoever they face.
That's a really good point, because NXT does tend to use guys basically, but really well, and NXT using Gallows and Anderson would have given a lot of fans more of an affinity for them, probably along what they feel for the Revival or something like that, as far as no-frills tag teams go. And instead, and especially with the way the WWE doesn't completely reintroduce acts when they call them to the main roster, they say, oh no, look, it's Shinsuke Nakamura. He was in NXT, and that's it, instead of actually telling you everything about a character. And I think the most harm in this instance was done to Bayley, where they didn't let fans get to feel anything for her prior to her going on the title-winning journey and all of that. And that obviously has worked out very, very poorly.
Chris, what else?
Another thing about this one, about SummerSlam more directly last night, we all know this has got to happen, at least with one thing. So choose your match from last night. Which one does WWE completely undo either tonight or tomorrow night? And by undo, I'm talking about they're going to do the exact thing. They're going to do the rematch with the opposite result. Personally, the six-way, that's a good one. You probably got me there. I almost feel like there's a slight chance, and I'm kind of hoping for it, that they put the title right back on Bliss tonight. And they might have just done that last night just to try to pop the crowd or something, although it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, they could turn around and do the same thing with the other women's championship. I mean, if they want to just take it off of Natalya and get it back on Naomi, that's a possibility. But, yeah, I was going to say the six-man tag that opened the show anytime I see the Miz, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas going over on the Hardys and Jason Jordan, it's like, well, okay. I mean, that was the first thought I had when Miz got the three count. I'm like, all right, they're probably going to turn around and reverse this on Raw somehow by having the babyface trio avenge the victory. I would say another candidate, Will, maybe is more with Randy Orton and Rusev. That was just so quick and decisive. And if they make it like every other Randy Orton program, it's going to go on forever. And in order to do that, you have to put some heat back on Rusev now.
Yeah, I think we're going to end up with a 25-minute headlock fest of a match between those two either this week or next week on SmackDown to make up for the quick decisiveness of SummerSlam, and maybe Rusev will cheat to win that one somehow, and we'll end up back at square one with those two. But I think they will undo that, and I think there's a chance that they find a way to undo Seth and Dean winning the tag titles this week or next week, have them lose them in some sort of way that maybe necessitates Roman joining up with them if Roman isn't going after the title directly, because they have to have something for Roman to do. And I still maintain that a Shield reunion would get Roman Reigns through those dog days of fall really well.
Chris, did you have more?
One last thing I had for you guys, and I appreciate
yeah.
your time. Thank you very much. I know there's been a lot of talk of possible superstar shakeup, NXT call-ups, whatever. So not based on your personal preference necessarily of what NXT wrestlers you would like to see on the main roster next, but if you had to pick one for each show that you think would be utilized effectively and has a ready-made spot in the roster for them on Raw or SmackDown, who would you go with?
Mine, I guess I'll start with and I'll let you, we'll go one by one here, Will. I'll start with SmackDown. I mentioned this in audio last night. I think that I wouldn't be surprised at all if AJ Styles issues an open challenge on Tuesday SmackDown and it's answered by Bobby Roode. Maybe even, you know, we get a new U.S. champion right out of the gate or something like that. I could definitely see Roode coming up. And, Will, I'll let you choose either Raw or SmackDown.
I think Bobby Roode would fit in a little better on SmackDown, especially given that The Miz is a really similar character and is on Raw. I think putting The Miz and Bobby Roode on the same roster would almost, it's a little redundant. So tossing Roode onto SmackDown would help. And since they don't seem too enthusiastic about Mike Bennett anymore, or Mike Kanellis, that act seems to have gone by the wayside down to developmental or something. I could see them having Roode fill the hole that they thought Mike and Maria Kanellis would as heels.
Well, is there someone from NXT that you think is realistic to go to one of the brands, and how, you know, where would you fit them in?
This may sound silly, or this might be a bit of a cop-out, but I'd put Hideo Itami on Raw and put him as part of that Cruiserweight division. They've spent a lot of time not having Hideo Itami do anything special, and I don't think the Cruiserweight division is a great spot for anyone to land right now, but at the same time, I don't see Hideo in a slot doing much else, and I think he's kind of expired on NXT. What's there left to do with him? You're not going to put the title on him. You're not going to make him a top guy. That ship sailed a long time ago. So give him a shot on 205 Live. See what he can do there. I don't know what else I would do with that NXT roster at this moment, because so many of the guys are pretty new there. Like, a lot of wrestlers seem to have just gotten there. I don't think we're in for many call-ups.
Yeah, I mean, Authors of Pain seem like a possibility, if only because they lost the titles. But, yeah, Will is right. I mean, the more I think about this, because is Andrade almost ready for the main roster? Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, yeah.
I think the addition of Thea Trinidad to his act is helpful, and I think that can be effective on either brand they choose. So I don't really have a strong feeling. And as far as Authors of Pain, I don't have a really good feel for where, you know, which brand they belong on. I guess SmackDown is kind of the more depleted tag team division. But if they are coming up, I mean, they better have a really good plan in place for those guys. And, you know, I mean, who knows what that would be? I mean, there's just only so many teams from them to destroy on SmackDown right now, and you would think that would be part of the introduction. So, but I don't know that Raw needs another team. Chris, did we answer your question properly? I mean, I think that's what it was, but I know you also had a shakeup component to it as well.
No, I was just mentioning the shakeup as the intro to my question. You answered it perfectly.
All right, very good. And, hey, send me a photo on Twitter of your Boston Terrier. As a fellow Boston Terrier owner, definitely want to see how your dog is doing these days.
I can absolutely do that. I can go ahead and burst your bubble. She is blind, but she's old. She's doing rather well, though. She gets around the house still.
That's the important thing. Well, thank you so much for calling, and I definitely look forward to that photo. I hope to hear from you again. Hey, I know some of you guys, I usually remember to mention this. If you've been on hold and you want to take part in the show, hit 1 on your phone. I'm sorry I forgot to mention that. If you're just in listen-only mode, that is absolutely fine. But if you wanted to take part in the show and you're wondering why we're not getting to your call, it's probably as simple as that. That lets us know that you're not just intending to be in listen-only mode. You actually want to take part in the show and join in on the conversation with Will and I. I want to direct people to the main page of ProWrestling.net. I have bumped up Will Pruitt's blog. I intended to do it yesterday. Shame on me. Will has a new video series on YouTube. Will, tell us about what I love about professional wrestling.
It is exactly what it sounds like. It's me. Really quickly, I think the first one is 3 minutes, and it includes the description of the show. But it's me really quickly mentioning and talking about something I love about professional wrestling, because it's one of the coolest art forms out there. It's really, really fun to watch. It's dynamic. It's exciting. And there is a lot to love about it. So because I get asked a lot by friends, by other people who watch wrestling, what I love about it, I thought I'd make a little video series and toss that out there into the world.
And perhaps the most impressive thing is, Will, it looks like you have many leather-bound books.
I was trying to think of where to do that in my house, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go with in front of the bookcase, like ESPN style, where like it's like, oh yeah, I'm sure this sports reporter reads that entire library of books all the time. So I thought that would be a fun touch, but I'll pick somewhere different for each episode.
No, I like it. It makes you look so intelligent between the books and the glasses.
It's the glasses.
I mean, I don't even own a bookcase. I have reading glasses that just make me look like a silly oaf wearing reading glasses. But I've got books scattered all about. I need to invest in a bookcase, Will. So you and I will have to talk off air about that. I also want to tell people really quickly about ProWrestling.net membership. You guys hear us here on the All Access side. Whether it's the All Access Daily podcast or these live specials that we do, know that the members hear a ton of exclusive audio content, audio reviews of all the major pay-per-view events from WWE, Global Force Wrestling, Ring of Honor, NXT as well. Jake Barnett and I got together last night for well over an hour to discuss WWE SummerSlam. Zach Zimmerman and I got together on Saturday night to discuss the NXT TakeOver event. The members also hear my Raw audio reviews on a weekly basis. So they usually go north of 30 minutes, sometimes closer to 45 minutes. Same with SmackDown as far as hearing my audio reviews on Tuesday night. Sometimes you guys get them on the All Access side. When you don't, know that they are there each and every week for the members. Plus, they hear Zach's NXT audio review of the television show, my audio review of the Ring of Honor television show. John Moore handles the Lucha Underground television show audio reviews. Plus, I do the Global Force Wrestling. So basically, if it airs on television, we have it covered both on the site and in audio form exclusively for the members. Not to mention the .NET Weekly audio show, our flagship show, where I get together with a co-host and discuss all the news of the week. That one tends to run at least an hour, sometimes more, depending on the week and what's going on. Sometimes we have some first-run news items in there as well, or just some notes that kind of provide some background information on whatever the big stories of the week are. And then my Q&A on Mondays. When I'm not doing the live show on Mondays, I do a Q&A audio show exclusively for the members, where they submit the questions. And then I answer those in the first part of the show, wrestling, all wrestling, and nothing but wrestling. And then on the back end of the show, it's some non-wrestling silliness, including the Assassin 5, either Game of Thrones or Walking Dead questions of the week, just to give you an idea of some of the things we discussed. Plus, there's been a lot of I spent nearly 5 years working as a editor at fanball.com, which is back, by the way. Shout out to my buddies there. I covered a lot of fantasy football in my day. I wrote about fantasy football for nearly 5 years, and in the Q&A audio show, lots of fantasy football questions at this time of the year, so I'm definitely enjoying that. No show today as far as Q&A, but that will be back in full force next Monday. Plus, the members get updates on my Beer League softball exploits. I mean, if that's not a selling point, I don't know what is. But all the information in terms of membership is available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. You simply click into the sign-up area, and once you do, you're going to find three different pricing options available to you. And once you are in there, you're going to see a $7.50 price for 1 month. I'm going to knock some off that today, as I did yesterday. This is a special we're doing. This is the only place you're going to hear about it. It's a special I've been doing, an email special for former subscribers, just giving them an option of coming back. Well, I'm going to give it to you guys here today as well, because you're cool enough to listen to the ProWrestling.net live audio show. Again, membership normally $7.50 for 1 month. You can save some money with either the six-month or annual option. But today, if you enter the coupon code DN return and the number one, you don't need to spell it out, just DN return and the number one, enter that coupon code, and that will get you 1 month of ProWrestling.net membership for just $1. And you can hear our entire history of audio content. It is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, and for that matter, the mobile site as well becomes ad-free once you sign up for membership. We'd love to have you sample what we do, and I think this gives you a great opportunity to do so for just $1 for 1 month. Again, it's not going to be on Twitter or anywhere else. Take advantage of that while you can. DN return one is the coupon code, and if you forget that, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet or shoot me an email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell that out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Will, where can people find you on Twitter before I forget?
You can find me on Twitter at Will Pruitt with one L in Will, just one L, because someone still has Will Pruitt with two L's, those jerks.
And if you know that person, feel free to punch him for Will. Is that fair?
Or yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah, I mean, normally we don't like advocate violence, but I think in this case it's totally called for. So yeah, just fall off and smack him. Don't even give him a warning. Don't even say, hey, I know this guy who'd like to take the Twitter page you're not really using. Just punch him, then tell him. That should work well. I think that should work well. Only one way to find out, I guess. Again, we probably have time if there's one more call, 773-897-6321, if you would like to join us. Otherwise, Will and I have obviously plenty to talk about. Tonight on Raw, we're getting Brock Lesnar. They advertised him before SummerSlam, which they even advertised him during SummerSlam, telling us that he'd leave WWE forever if he lost his match, and then told us he was going to be on Raw. Will, was that a mistake? Oh, I mean, it seems like it, because they did quickly pull it from the Barclays social media pages.
It does seem like a mistake, but even if he were leaving forever, being on Raw the next night to throw a tantrum and say he quits would have made some sense. So I think they didn't really spoil the result by doing it, but it didn't completely fit in with the story.
Yeah, I just think it was as simple as saying, win or lose, Brock Lesnar has agreed that he will appear at Raw on Monday. It could be the last time. And, you know, and it's as simple as that. They didn't do it. The other thing that we know we're getting tonight, as of last check anyway, they haven't advertised any matches that I know of. If anybody knows otherwise, feel free to let me know. But it is John Cena advertised. They haven't really officially done it on WWE television that I know of, but he's been advertised on the Barclays site. I don't think it's for a dark man event. He is technically a free agent. They tell us all the time on SmackDown. They ignore that fact on Raw for God knows what reason. But, it finally looks like John Cena is going to be venturing over to the Raw side. What do you expect from him on Raw?
I know you and Jake talked a little bit about him being in a feud with Brock Lesnar, and I wouldn't get too excited about that. Yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about that at this moment, simply because we've seen Lesnar and Cena perform against each other a lot. Like, they've that they've absolutely had a ton of matches together. But I could see him maybe doing the Roman Reigns program if they don't think they're going to get to that at a WrestleMania. I could see him even against Braun Strowman, actually, if they were really about it. And looking, John Cena is advertised for the next Raw pay-per-view as well. So that's on WWE's own site. So maybe we even finally get that John Cena and Samoa Joe match that a lot of us have been wanting for a while.
That's what I'm kind of leaning toward. I don't even remember what I said last night. Jake mentioned Cena and Lesnar. And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's possible they have really good matches together. No doubt about that. I mean, they beat the holy hell out of each other. But that's the thing. You know, John Cena is doing this Bumblebee movie right now. If I'm a producer of that, especially after seeing him be, you know, dropped on his head by Shinsuke Nakamura, I'd be a little leery of that one. You know, can't you just coast through another match like he did with Baron Corbin? By the way, what was that? I mean, talk about night and day, Will, when it comes to the opening match atmosphere for the NXT show. So here it is, you're in a so-called minor league. I know Triple H doesn't like that classification, but oh well. So it's your minor league opening match in the same venue, and it gets, 20 times the reaction that the opening match of SummerSlam featuring one of your biggest stars, John Cena, gets? I mean, wow.
I mean, at least the opening match of SummerSlam had more jokes. Where's your briefcase chance? Those were pretty fun. But you're right. It's really sad that your TakeOver opening match has so much more heat and more excitement than your SummerSlam opening match. But it's kind of WWE's booking. It's what they do. It's the way they tell stories that gets people not as excited for matches and match results.
Can we please get John Cena in something meaningful at a pay-per-view again? You know, I'm thinking back to WrestleMania, and yeah, the proposal was there, and I get that. That was a moment, no doubt about it, but it was a mixed tag match. It felt, you know, kind of beneath John Cena in a way at the time. And then this with Corbin, it's like I'm willing to give them the out that, all right, maybe when they started putting SummerSlam together, they did have big plans for Baron Corbin. And there's all sorts of rumors that he's in the doghouse, and that may explain why that match went the way it did and why he dropped the Money in the Bank and why John Cena called him skinny fat and all sorts of other dumpster fire and all sorts of other insults. But, you know, the fact is, even if he was like Cena was originally going to give him rub, who knows, maybe even put him over in a meaningful way, it didn't play out that way. I'm not saying they need to make John Cena the champion and front and center again working his limited schedule, but I am saying, Will, is it too much to like put this guy in a meaningful program?
Yeah, my hope with him appearing on Raw now is going to be that John Cena gets to be someone as important as John Cena again. I think that would be a really, really strong place to start for him and for fans of his. There's a real issue with him not being John Cena right now. He's John Cena, like he's doing the whole Cena act, but the only time he's felt semi-important was going into the Nakamura match, and even that, it was a one-week match and build. They need to put him in situations where he feels as important as he is.
I hope they do. I mean, Joe, I think, is a really good candidate for him. I think that would be a lot of fun. There's a lot you can do with that. I think they're, you know, with John Cena coming over, obviously, and unless Corbin falls, and even if he does, if there's a shakeup, I think they're probably done with that program. Joe needs an opponent right now, something to do coming out of that program. And with Cena, you know, I mean, with his schedule, this might be an opportunity for John Cena to put over Joe. And he'd probably get his win back eventually, that sort of a thing, but this would be a good time for him to help elevate him. One thing I didn't catch last night, Jake and I didn't talk about, I missed it live. Did you hear Booker T talk about Roman Reigns being voted the most hated wrestler or something like that during the SummerSlam broadcast?
You know, at that point in the show, I was zoning out broadcasters so much. I didn't catch that, but that's hilarious. That's probably not what WWE wants.
No, and I know there was like a hesitation, and then Michael Cole or Graves, one of the two, kind of corrected him to whatever the, you know, the WWE classification of it is. How funny would it be if Booker, like, stating the obvious would be the thing that finally made them pull the plug on him as a color commentator? I mean, I'm not wishing that the guy loses his gig or, you know, loses his job, but I think Booker T is going to be just fine either way. But I think it would be rather comical if him being honest is what finally made Vince McMahon go, you know what, this isn't working.
It'd be very WWE for that to happen. For honesty to finally be what ends Booker T's run on commentary for the second time. Anything to get him off of commentary. But I will say, I think the Raw commentary team, infinitely better than the SmackDown one. Last night was just night and day when Graves and Cole were talking compared to the Byron Saxton, JBL, and Tom Phillips experience.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not big on what they're doing. I mean, I think Phillips is, like, adequate. He doesn't wow me with his calls, but I think he's improving. And, you know, JBL and Saxton, I don't know, JBL just can be more grating than anything, and Saxton doesn't say much, and when he does, it's, I don't know, it's just kind of there. So, yeah, it's those guys don't really enhance the matches the way that I think a really engaged Michael Cole and Corey Graves do. What did you give SummerSlam for a letter grade? Jake and I were kind of down on it, so I'm curious to know where you fell.
I think I'm probably closer to the D you guys were at than, say, the fan polling that showed our readers at, like, a B. I think a good main event definitely caused some more readers to go, like, oh, this was great. But getting to that main event was like pulling teeth at some points. It was not a fun show to watch.
And I'll take a page out of the Will Pruitt playbook. What excites you about professional wrestling only heading into Raw and SmackDown, though?
I want to see what John Cena does on Raw. Like I said, I look forward to him being treated like John Cena there. On SmackDown, it's a lot harder to answer that question because SmackDown has not been a well-booked show. The only good story it seems like they've told is kind of this AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon thing. So I'll go with what will ultimately be the greatest match of all time, Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens, and the build-up to finally seeing them fight, because I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch those two in a match together.
And if you love Shane McMahon as much as Will does, check out his you still have the GIF of the week, correct, on Thursdays in the Will Pruitt's
new
thing.
Every week there is a new Shane McMahon GIF. At some point, I'm going to have to start making these instead of just finding them.
Oh, really? Are you already running a little bit dry on that?
I mean, I'm not searching for, like, specific things. It's like a search for Shane McMahon GIFs, and it turns out that you just see a lot of him dancing doing his entrance, and I've already used that. It's a great dance, though.
Well, you know what? Do you have time for one more call? Otherwise, I can take it solo. We do have one more person to check in here at the last minute. Okay, let's go to 434. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
It's Joni Fairplay. Happy solar eclipse of Will and Jason.
Sorry. I can't take one more anymore.
Yeah. We're out of time, Johnny.
Oh, well. I'm going to save the cheerleader. Have a great day.
Johnny Fairplay, everybody. You know, I probably just could have kept him on the line and let him talk about whatever he wanted to, but I know him. He's going to call me as soon as this thing's over anyway and rehash what he talked about. So it is always nice to hear from Survivor Hall of Famer Johnny Fairplay, everybody, on the ProWrestling.net live show. But that really is going to do it for today. A big thanks to everyone who took the time to listen or call in. Again, Will and I are going to be back. Well, I assume Will. We don't quite know with his schedule, but I will certainly be back, hopefully with Will, coming up on September 25th, the day after the WWE No Mercy pay-per-view. Will, that's a Raw pay-per-view, correct? That's the one where we may not get Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar?
That's a Raw pay-per-view, and that pay-per-view is in Los Angeles, so there's a good chance I'll have been at the show the night before, and we'll be trying to make it to Raw that evening. Actually,
that's what John Moore is reaching out about tickets for, I think. So cool. Yeah, we might have the in-person perspective from Will coming up, assuming his schedule meshes But 3 Central, 4 Eastern, the Mondays following WWE pay-per-view events at pwaudio.net. Thanks again, everybody, and we'll talk to you very soon. Members, I'll be back tonight with my WWE Raw Audio Review. And for that matter, everybody can join me at ProWrestling.net for live coverage of Raw and Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown on Tuesday night. So until next time, take care.